Okay, today we're going to take up Isaiah chapter 5. So open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 5, and we'll take a look at this. I've divided the chapter up into three sections. Verse 1 to 7 is the parable of the vineyard. Verse 8 to 25 is a series of woes, six woes upon Judah and Jerusalem. And then verses 26 to 30, God calls for the Babylonians to come and destroy Judah and Jerusalem. So that's basically the breakdown of the chapter as a whole. It starts out with this parable or song about a vineyard, and it's Isaiah speaking here, of course. Verse 1, let me sing now for my well-beloved. His well-beloved was the Lord. A song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. So it's about the vineyard of the Lord. This is what Isaiah is singing about. Isaiah, by the way, is the singing prophet. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And it's a picture of a vineyard on a fertile hill, and the Lord plucked out the stones and planted a choice vine and so on, and so it would produce good grapes. It's a picture of the people of Israel, actually. But the sad result was that it only produced wild grapes, and we get that in verse 2, 3, and 4. What more could I have done? The Lord says, verse 4, than I had already done to my vineyard. I expected good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. We see this in Psalm 80, the very same thing. If you want to turn to Psalm 80 in your Bible, and you see in verse 8, you removed a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. Remember, we see in our parable here, the Lord says he removed the stones, or Isaiah says it, removed the stones and planted this vine in this vineyard. You cleared the ground before it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shadow, and the cedars of God with its boughs, and so on. But notice verse 12 of Psalm 80. Why have you broken down its hedges so that all that pass by pick its fruit? A boar from the forest eats it away, and whatever moves in the field feeds on it. The boar from the forest is the ravaging Gentile nations. The nations are always pictured as a wild animal in the Bible. And this is exactly what chapter 5 of Isaiah is about, because the conclusion of it is where God raises up the Babylonians to destroy Judah and Jerusalem. So it's like the wild boar of Psalm 80. So Israel as a whole is described as a wild vine here, or a vine actually that is planted in a vineyard, but brought forth wild fruit actually. The vine wasn't wild. The vine was the vine that the Lord planted, but it brought forth wild grapes rather than good grapes. Actually, the Gentiles are described as the wild vine. But there's a lot of lessons, especially verse 4 is a picture also of the flesh. You know, the flesh can produce nothing for God. Paul says in Romans 8, that the flesh is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So this is a lesson for our own hearts. Application to our own hearts is that even as Christians, you know, apart from God's grace, we can produce nothing. The Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. As a matter of fact, in John's Gospel, chapter 15, the Lord Jesus said, I am the true vine. You see, Israel was the vine, but the Lord Jesus is the true vine, because Israel could bring forth no fruit for God. But the Lord Jesus did. He's the one that glorified God in his life and in his death, and he will glorify him yet to come. So the Lord Jesus is the true vine. In fact, also the Lord Jesus uses a parable drawing from this imagery here in Isaiah chapter 5, in Matthew's Gospel chapter 21, where he speaks about the parable of a vineyard that was planted, but servants of the vineyard mistreated the keepers of the vineyard mistreated the servants that the master or the farmer had sent to check out his vineyard, and beat some and killed others. And finally, he said, I will send my son. They will reverence him. But they said, this is the heir. Let's kill him and cast him out, and the vineyard will be ours. It's a picture of the people of Israel. Not only, as Isaiah said, it brings forth wild grapes, that the flesh produces nothing, but on the other hand, even more shocking, is that when the Son of God came on grace, when he came to his own received him not, and they murdered the Son of God. But Israel as a whole is a picture of our own hearts. It's a picture of man in the flesh. So we're not blaming the people of Israel. They were like the choice group to portray this under the law and so on. And so they produce wild fruit, and so do we. So does the flesh. Any man, if any man thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. So we need the Lord's grace on a day-to-day basis. And then the second section I said was a series of six woes. We can't go into the details of it, but we see in verse 13, therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. Essentially what the woes come upon Judah and Jerusalem for is for injustice in the land, drunkenness and bribery. The rule of law had broken down. And it's so important in societies that there is a rule of law. And our Western societies have a rule of law. Many countries where you go, bribery is sort of the rule of the day, and disorder and so on. But that can happen to us as well. But I would only focus on verse 20. Woe to those that call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The case in Isaiah's day was that those who did what was good, those who stood for righteousness were called evil. And those who did evil, they were called good. Isn't that exactly what's happening in our day if we really want to look at it? That those who would stand for righteousness, for godliness, for holiness, are called evil. They say that we have a phobia or, you know, whatever. And those who are wicked and would promote wicked lifestyles, they're held up as good. And that is something that we should strive for, that it's something that is very good. And so there's this moral inversion. What is good is called evil, and what is evil is called good. There's nothing new under the sun. It was in Isaiah's day, and it's in our day. And so God's woes of judgment will be upon any nation who does this. It was upon Israel, and it will be upon us as well. In the third section, verse 26 to 30, we get God calling for Babylon to come. Notice the imagery here that Isaiah has. Verse 26, he will lift up a standard to a distant nation. That can be plural. Literally, it's plural. Distant nations. So it could also include Assyria. But Assyria never really destroyed Judah and Jerusalem. It came up to it, but that is all. But I believe it's referencing Babylon here. He will raise up a standard to a distant nation and will whistle for it. I love that imagery. The Lord just whistles and Babylon is raised up and they will come swiftly. And I believe it's Babylon because it's described in verse 29 as a lioness. You know, in Daniel chapter 7, Babylon's described as a lion. But it says that it will seize its prey and carry it off, and no one will be able to deliver it. Well, that exactly what happened in 6970 AD when Babylon came. But you know, Babylon was not a great world power yet when Isaiah prophesied this. It was up and coming. Assyria was the great power. But it shows Isaiah's prophetic powers through the Spirit of God. He wrote by the Spirit of God. So let's just take this lesson from it, brothers and sisters, that the flesh produces nothing for God. I know that in me and my flesh dwells no good thing. It's only by the grace of God. And that if we think we stand, take heed lest we fall. We need the Lord's grace daily. Amen.